The New Brunswick government this week announced a review of the moratorium on hydraulic fracturing, or fracking, which began in 2014 due to concerns around public health, the environment, and Indigenous rights. Fracking is the process of extracting oil and natural gas from the ground by injecting water and other materials under high pressure into rock formations to create cracks and allow fossil fuels to be reached. Significant negative impacts on human health have been seen in locations where fracking has been widespread, such as British Columbia. New Brunswick's moratorium followed a report by then Chief Medical Officer of the province, Dr. Eilish Cleary, and a subsequent 2 years of engagement and consultations. The Premier at the time, Brian Gallant, put forward 5 conditions to be met for the lifting of the moratorium around the environment, consultations with First Nations, public acceptance, and public health. Co-chair of the Canadian Association of Physicians for the Environment, New Brunswick, Dr. Chris Arsenault, a palliative and family care physician in Fredericton, spoke with Local 107.3 FM about impacts on human health and his response to the announcement of the review, as well as the possible alternatives to fracking.
Back in 2012, our Chief Medical Officer of Health at the time, Dr. Eilish Cleary, published a report, effectively a health impact assessment of what at the time was being considered as fracking exploration in the province. And it laid clear some pretty obvious health risks. And with a lot of tireless advocacy from a lot of everyday New Brunswickers, that led to the moratorium on fracking being established in 2014. And there's been no fracking whatsoever in this province as a result. The government announced the other day that they're considering lifting this ban, and they're going to put a five-month review process in place in order to see whether or not they should lift this moratorium. So the evidence that has come out since 2012 corroborates and even amplifies the findings of that report in terms of the significant health risks that exist. A lot of the health risks that we've identified since that report come from studies in BC, where there's been very extensive fracking in rural areas, as well as from the states, where they often frack near large populations. And those studies show relatively clear links. There are a number of different cancers involved. Childhood leukemia is one of the big ones that sticks out. Rates of asthma are much higher near these facilities, as well as heart disease and lung disease. And there are a lot of prenatal effects as well. So low birth weight, premature births, all these things have some pretty clear statistical associations with how close you are to a fracking facility.
Are the kind of specific mechanics and reasons for this understood and known? I mean, what is it that is causing these issues in fracking itself?
Yeah, it's really what we call multifactorial. There's a lot of things going on. But in essence, what fracking is drilling deep into the ground where there are rock-based deposits of oil, and then injecting millions of tons of water at high pressure to break those apart, sucking that water back out and extracting the oil from it. And this does a number of things to our environment. Obviously, it can cause quite significant water contamination. It's been well documented to be doing so in certain parts of BC. Also, the above ground infrastructure. There's all kinds of toxic chemicals that are being used and burned and so on. It causes a lot of air pollution. Thus, the asthma associations in particular are likely due to the air pollution. And there's a third set of factors, kind of socioeconomic factors that happen around industries like this as well, where a short-term high-intensity industry moves into a location, they tend to bring in a lot of suddenly very high-earning young men, generally speaking, and it has a lot of quite significant, well-documented public health impacts on nearby communities in terms of rates of gender-based violence, rates of substance abuse, and so on.
What could lifting the moratorium have on the healthcare system in New Brunswick?
It worries me on two fronts. On the one hand, I'm a family doctor. I meet people every day who, as soon as they learn that I'm a family doctor, they're asking me if I'm taking patients, because over a third of people in Fredericton aren't attached for primary care at some of the worst rates anywhere in the country. So we are extremely strapped. Piling on new health risks would add more patients, add more burden to that system. If we're increasing rates of asthma, if we're increasing rates of cancer, those are all diseases that people will suffer from and that the system has to bear the burden of. And there are well-documented, very significant healthcare costs associated with this as well. In many studies, air pollution is on the order of many billions of dollars a year in Canada that it costs the health system. And so these would be also additional strains on the system. The other side of that coin is that in the parts of Canada where fracking has been occurring, especially in BC, you know, I've met with colleagues in BC who tell me all the time about the obvious harms they're seeing in their communities. I know a doctor who has more than one child in the same classroom with cancer, and that's just so alarming. So much so that the physicians in Dawson Creek have lost a good number of physicians in the last few years because those health risks are so obvious to us, and we're citizens as well. Many doctors have left to protect their families, and we can't afford more doctors leaving this province. We don't have enough as it is.
Potential benefits, I suppose, are argued as economic benefits and jobs. How do these kind of like weigh up against the health issues that are caused by it? Where do the scales kind of end up when you include the positives and the negatives as alongside the health?
Essentially, the government of New Brunswick isn't able to weigh those scales with the existing staff and technology and expertise that they have in place. So, when Dr. Cleary published her report on fracking in 2012, that was a couple years' worth of effort on that document by a department of scientists and doctors. At the moment, the Department of Public Health in New Brunswick does not have the capacity to create a similar report again. The government of New Brunswick does not conduct health impact assessments, which are absolutely stock standard public health methodology for figuring out the risks associated with a possible project. When we're talking about weighing potential economic benefits against health harms, this government isn't equipped to do that. There are no formal mechanisms in place right now to investigate suspicious clusters of disease in this province. So this 5-month timeline for a public review is not enough. Are not simple questions to answer, but they require serious work that this province just can't do right now. I'm not Indigenous, but I do work in an Indigenous community where I provide primary care. There has been a history of failing to consult Indigenous peoples in this province. The Mactaquac Dam comes to mind. It's right upstream of Billich First Nation, where I provide primary care. That community was not consulted on that project. And that's especially concerning to me because it is well documented that rural populations and Indigenous populations disproportionately bear the harms of these types of industries. So these people will be more heavily affected in terms of health outcomes. They need to have a prominent seat at the table. This needs to be a nation-to-nation discussion.
Rather than review the moratorium, what would you like to see the provincial government doing instead?
Other options exist. They're being done. They're being done by other people in this province. There's an Indigenous government in this province that's developing a massive wind farm right now. But the government of New Brunswick isn't even looking at those options as a possibility. They are environmentally safer. They are safer for our health. The World Health Organization identifies climate change as the single greatest threat to human health in this century. And so I'd like to see them spend these resources and this time actually looking at sustainable alternative options. But absolutely, I think that is where their money and time would be better placed because it would benefit New Brunswickers more in terms of their health and still provide that same kind of economic prosperity, jobs, energy, all those things that we absolutely do need. The argument I hear from industry is that newer fracking technologies are supposed to be safer. This has not been borne out by the evidence whatsoever. There may be some very new technologies that are as yet untested. Fundamental principles in public health would tell us, the precautionary principle in public health in particular would tell us that the fact that something hasn't been studied doesn't mean it isn't harmful, obviously. And so if this government is banking on the promises of industry that new technologies are somehow supposed to be safer when they have been untested, then they would be gambling with the lives of New Brunswickers for the sake of money. And that, as a doctor, that's completely unacceptable.
The provincial government review will last for 5 months until January 2027. If you have a tip, an idea, or a story you think the community should hear about, you can contact Local 107.3 FM at iona@cfmh.ca. This is Iona Co for Local 107.3 FM and the Local Journalism Initiative.